vision. Your paradigm is about to shift at the intersection of fact and reason. You're entering Kingston Country.
I'm Dan Kingston, and you're listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast. An American scientist working on coronavirus research was found shot dead in his home over the weekend. Scientist was described by his university as being on the verge of making very significant findings about COVID-19. He was found on Saturday with multiple gunshot wounds, dead in his home. Nothing was stolen from the house, no forced entry or signs of forced entry. His associate was also found dead nearby. The researcher, Bing Liu, was from the University of Pittsburgh, 37 years old. He was shot in the head, neck, and torso, reportedly, and repeatedly shot many times. His associate, meanwhile, was found nearby but only had a single gunshot wound that reportedly appears to be self-inflicted. According to his university department over at the University of Pittsburgh, Bing was on the verge of making very significant findings towards understanding the cellular mechanisms that underlie SARS-CoV-2 infection and the cellular basis of the following complications, presumably COVID-19. So who is responsible for the death of Bing Liu? Was it a love triangle of some kind that I guess is being reported in the news, the mainstream media, saying maybe his associate was jealous of something or other, and that explains the self-inflicted gunshot wound to the associate and the no signs of forced entry? But we know that scientists and others have disappeared in China that have been working on coronavirus. Is it merely a coincidence that this was a researcher reportedly working on a breakthrough in understanding coronavirus? Did he find something out? Again, local officials saying there's no evidence of any foul play, of any kind of murder or that kind of thing, beyond situation with the associate. So they're looking at the associate and they're saying it looked like, you know, maybe the associate was responsible. Okay, but could there be another reason? Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, or China? Lots of people, right, working on coronavirus, lots of money at stake. And you have to follow the money. Follow the money. So what did he figure out? And will we learn what he was working on? Because his university is going to keep on track of what this researcher was working on. That's what they say. So we will find out, presumably, if he was onto something and he was silenced for that, or maybe we'll never find out. But the university is saying they're going to continue his work. So do you think it's suspicious, you know, found multiple times, a shot multiple times, you know, multiple shots in the head, neck, and torso? Is that suspicious? And then the associate, just a single self-inflicted wound, like to presumably look like suicide, right? Very coincidental that he was working on the breakthrough. I don't know. I'm just, am I allowed to ask these questions, or is this enough to get me censored? Because I'm pointing out the fact that people have disappeared in China for much less. Now, this isn't China. But to think that China doesn't have their tentacles in this country, of course they do. They have spies here. And they don't just have spies that look like spies. They look like your friendly Joe, a suburban neighbor. That's what they look like. And they walk around in the halls of power in Congress and as aides to congressmen and women. And they work in as producers for the mainstream media. The spies are everywhere, not just for China, by the way, but China is our number one adversary at this point. Everybody seems to be on board, recognizing now, better late than never, that China is the number one threat to liberty the world is facing.
And it's been that way, by the way. It's been that way. This isn't an overnight thing. But now, overnight, people are waking up to it. And you have a report by the China Institutes of Contemporary Internal Relations. Now, this is a institute connected to the Chinese Ministry of State Security. And they're recommending, this is an internal report to Xi Jinping, they're recommending that China prepares for the possibility of an armed conflict with the United States. Why? Because they're pointing to growing anti-China sentiment around the world. And I wouldn't say anti-China, I would say anti-Chinese Communist Party sentiment around the world. And the report's blaming this anti-Communist Party sentiment, Chinese Communist Party sentiment, as being fueled by the United States. And, you know, in large part, yes, the United States, but not only official actors, but people like Dan Kingston saying that the Chinese Communist Party is the biggest threat to liberty the world has ever faced, at least since Nazi Germany, World War II. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to point this out, nor does it mean people like me are calling for war. We are simply shining a light on an adversarial threat to our way of life. People like me, I'm not saying that I want nuclear war with China, but at a certain point, you do have to look at their growing power and their rise to power and their ability to project their power in the ocean, in the South Asian Sea over there, the Pacific. Now, at what point do we lose the ability to push back, to counter Chinese aggression? At what point will we wake up with the Chinese in Venezuela and South America? Because first, they gain control in the South Asia Sea. Next, where are they going to gain control? We cannot allow that to happen. And the reason it can't be allowed is specifically because they do not go with our values being liberty, freedom, the rights of the individual over the tyranny of the majority. And because of that threat, and because of the threat, and they've clearly demonstrated themselves to be in the fallout from coronavirus, we have to get our manufacturing done here at home, right? We have to get out of the reliance on China for medicine and crucial technology infrastructure. It's just a no-brainer. Like, we had to get off the Middle East oil. We need to get off Chinese manufacturing. Now, if you want to say that that's anti-Chinese sentiment, fine. Then call it that. But to say that we're the ones pushing for war, it's China that unleashed a deadly virus on the world, presumably by accident, but very sneaky in their way of doing it, covering it up every step of the way. Was it an accident? You can only go and wonder what it could have been. Potentially more sinister? Potentially, yes. But it doesn't have to be evil, to allow the virus to spread outside of their borders and yet contain it in Wuhan and protect their capital city of Beijing. Really convenient that the Chinese Communist Party is able to protect Beijing, but allow the virus to spread around the world. So even if it was an accidental release, doesn't look like it was such an accidental spread. Now, you got people pushing back against that biolab narrative, even though you know that the intelligence agencies are looking closely and have basically working under the assumption that it was accidentally leaked from the biolab over there. And yet in the mainstream media, that's considered a conspiracy theory, even coming from intelligence agencies, not just our own, but the UK and Australia, everybody's coming to the same conclusions that we came to on this podcast months ago, right? Because the coincidence was too big. The only level 4 biolab in all of China just happens to be located in Wuhan, right where that epicenter of the coronavirus emerged, right? And you got the scientists working on the bats. The bats that were not sold at the wet market, but were being studied, that did have problems peeing on different scientists. And you can go down the whole rabbit hole, but we know China's a bad actor. And we know that we need to face China as a bad actor. We also know that China's trying to hack. They're trying to hack our infrastructure, right? They're not just trying, but they've done it successfully. And now, in the midst of coronavirus, they have not let up. They're continuing to hack. Reports indicate foreign adversarial hackers are targeting key research programs that are racing to develop a vaccine for COVID-19, including what's being described as a groundbreaking research program at Oxford University. And this comes as cybersecurity agencies in the US and the UK are urging healthcare and medical staff to improve password security. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 isn't going to cut it if you're a healthcare worker or medical staff and you're working on coronavirus. They are trying to hack you. The Chinese, Russians, North Koreans, everybody China's working with, they're all trying to hack you. And what could happen? What's the risk? Imagine if an adversarial power is able to manipulate coronavirus numbers, the number of infected, they could easily close down a city or initiate a second wave of shelter in place when actually there is no infection spreading. They could hurt the confidence, the already much diluted confidence we have in our public officials. They are aiming to corrode that even more. Essentially, they want to bring us to a state of anarchy so that we're not able to counteract their aggression, presumably mainly Chinese aggression in the South Asian Sea. I want to highlight Senator Tom Cotton, who has a $43 billion proposal to fight back against China. This is what we need. We need a big scale plan, not just a couple billion here, a couple billion there, but a comprehensive bill, a comprehensive proposal to fight back against Chinese aggression. According to Tom Cotton, his bill will greatly strengthen the United States' position in the Indo-Pacific, allowing us to block China's goal of regional dominance and ultimately competition with the United States. And that's what we need. We need to block their goals of regional dominance. And we need to block the competition with the United States that's threatening our way of life, namely liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness.
Kingston Country. You've been listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast.